Hey, you're listening to the Prime Culture Podcast. This Prime Culture is for the dreamers, the schemers, and the believers. We're here to introduce a whole new generation to the abundant life. We're here for the prime of our lives.
One time for the people, two times for the people, three times for the Lord. Four times for the kingdom, five times for the body, six times till he comes back, seven times because he's Jesus, eight times just because we can. Let's go. Hit him with them horns eight times, baby. What's up? Welcome back to the Prime Culture Podcast, where Jesus is Lord and NeuroGum is supposed to be sponsoring us, bro.
Still not sponsoring.
I'm on that NeuroGum energy, baby. What's up? What's up? You know what it is, man? Typically on Tuesdays.
What it is.
What's up? Girl, stop distracting me. You look so good right now.
We had a bet that you were going to say something about Diana's dress.
Oh, gosh. Anyways, go ahead.
You look amazing.
And then?
Like we should have a baby.
Hey, pastor.
Angel for sure is like, I should not be here right now.
I shouldn't be here, pastor.
No, man. So typically we record on Tuesdays, and Tuesdays are the days where I like all day I'm in full blown executive pastor mode.
Yeah.
Right. So like I'm buttoned up. I'm like running meetings or teaching chapel and just check-ins and boop, boop, boop. So like I'm looking forward to an outlet here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because like my natural state is like, man, put me in, coach.
Yes,
I got a personality, right? All day.
Amen.
All day it's been like, I got Excel spreadsheets. You know what I'm saying? Now it's like, man, I got an expression to, you know, like, so I'm excited for being in the room with y'all. I love y'all. You doing good?
Yeah.
How are we feeling?
Love you too.
Feeling things good. Are good?
Things are good.
Awesome.
May, what do they call it? May member or something like that. It's like December, but in May.
What does that mean?
That means like everything happens in May. Mother's Day,
graduations,
end of year programs, awards. You got people's birthdays. So money is just flowing.
Money May
time
for real
is also flowing.
Money
so
May is
that's
crazy.
That's where we're at.
No, that's a real word for real. Remind me to budget for May better.
Yeah, Jesus. For real. Man, it's been rough.
Holy smokes, bro.
Dang.
Man, you know, it's a trip because we now have daughters who are a little bit older with older expenses. Bro,
right.
Praying for you, my boy.
I know. You think the easy part is when they're little, but shoot, I think as they get older, you pray more and you pay more.
That's Dang. A word. That's a word for all the parents out there. Put that on the Abundant Parenting Podcast.
Y'all need to lock in.
Prayed this much and I've never paid this much.
No, that's a real word, man. Like we have, we're going to age ourselves, but we have in the fall, we have a freshman cheerleader.
I know, that's wild to me, bro.
It's crazy.
That's wild to me.
Oh, that bill
I think
ain't
I'm
cheap.
In love with the cheerleader. Is that how it goes? I don't remember. I think I found myself a cheerleader.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what it
yeah.
is, huh? That's
I
what it is.
Yeah, you mixed two songs. Man. One really bad one.
Man, listen. And so anyway.
And a middle school cheerleader.
We have a middle school cheerleader also, bro. So yeah, bro, dude, cheerleading is expensive. Like when we put our girls in public school, I thought like, oh, cool, free sports.
Free.
Nope.
No.
It's more expensive than private school, bro.
No.
Like yeah. It's crazy. And they're clueless. They're clueless to what it takes to make life happen. Right? It's funny, bro. Like a thing that like I'm just gonna vent and get some therapy a little bit about being a dad. The thing with our oldest daughter is she thinks allowance is connected to doing the thing that's expected one time.
Yeah, one time.
I did it that one time.
Like one time, I did it one time, you should pay me. I did it one time, I should get the result.
It's an ongoing investment. It keeps making money for me. That's crazy.
And the middle schooler just always does it.
It is.
And doesn't expect anything, which is so weird.
Wow.
Right. But there's that mentality, right, though, right? Where it's just like, hey, man, it was a one-time investment. Let's go. Right. It's like, no, sweetheart. That one thing you did on Monday was maybe a down payment, but there's an ongoing progressive expectation, right? Which, you're a teacher. You know where it's going.
Yeah.
You know where it's going. This is called a setup, people.
Yeah.
You know, but as I was thinking about it, you know, and preparing for the pod, man, my thought was like, man, how often do I do that to God,
mm-hmm.
right? Where like, it's like, Lord, It's not like the Lord gives us an allowance per se, but there is an exchange, right? Yeah. Like there is an interaction that we have, with the Lord. And I think sometimes where it's like, man, look, I did it one time. How come all this stuff isn't working? I did it one time.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, it's I think I lose myself, and I'm just seeing the reflection of that in my daughter, where it's like, no, man, like, it's an ongoing life that pleases the Lord. It's mm-hmm. an ongoing progression of growth and evolution and transformation. It's an ongoing regeneration of myself that yields the life that I'm believing for, right? And yeah. so, you know, as much as I want to get frustrated with my daughter, it just like boomerangs. You ever get like one of those boomerang blessings with your kids? Like, you want to be mad, but then it's like,
well, I do that too.
Wait a minute. I'm actually projecting because I'm mad at you because I'm mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever had that?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, bro.
My boys are in a completely different place.
Right.
My oldest will do the work for all three just so he can do it. The middle one does not do a thing.
So you're saying he has a Messiah complex?
Yeah.
Or he just doesn't want to hear it.
I'm not speaking that over your son.
Like, he doesn't want to hear it. He's like, let me just do it.
He's the Messiah-less.
Yeah. Aww. If we're going to talk about in the context of a relationship with God, I think my oldest will do what some of us do. He just knows he needs to get it done.
Right.
But but he doesn't do it well at times. Mm. So he just goes and does it. Oof. And then my middle one, he does it. Well, he doesn't do anything. And he just trusts that I will love him no matter what.
That's classic middle child. That's classic. Second born. Yeah. Classic.
He's
second
like,
born.
Silas, you forgot to do this. You forgot to do this. Yeah. And then the youngest one is just like pretending he's doing it. He's like just going. He has the same piece of toy. I don't know. And he just walks around with the same toy everywhere. And yeah, so it's different.
It's funny, man. It's funny how there's this snapshot of us towards the Lord when you become a parent, right?
Oh, bro. I'm so grateful for the Lord for the way he treats me and how much grace he's given me.
Oh, he's so generous.
So generous. I'm like, so thank you. Thank you, Lord. Because I was just acting like that, like just a few years ago.
Crazy. Right. Crazy. Yeah. You know what's funny, bro? It's like at any given moment, we're one of those kids, right? Like either doing the most, doing the least, or doing nothing at all, thinking we're doing something, bro.
Like, right, it's like, for sure.
Doing the most.
I do think it could be personality or just human tendency. You know, we all ride that roller coaster of doing the most, doing what we think God wants, or you know what? I'm just done doing it all and just hide under the covers.
No, it's crazy, man. And look, for the sake of today's conversation, man, I would love to apply the thought of like, hey, let's embrace that it's a progressive growth, right? I want you guys to help me say it right. Like, let's work this out correctly, because what I don't want the culture to think is that it's based on works, mm-hmm. right? You know, at the time of this recording, we are a couple of weeks before our May culture night. In April, we talked about repentance, and that's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to spend some time on repentance. In May, we're going to talk about good religion and daily practices, finding God's wise and loving design and our place in the wise and loving design of daily practices that honor God. Right. So look, it's not a works-based faith,
right,
but they are faith-based works.
Yeah,
right.
Good work, baby.
Absolutely. The good work where I say, because I believe that I'm regenerated, I believe I'm born again, I believe I'm a child of God, then I'm going to have operational righteousness. I receive righteousness. I'm given righteousness. I'm imputed righteousness from the Lord, but then I embrace lived out righteousness in this external expression of my faith.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right. So let's talk about the as leaders and pastors. Let's talk. That's so funny. It's like I'm starting a leadership podcast. Right. Sorry, that was so random.
It's fine.
No, but like, well, one of the things I think that we see often is that we do view the component of repentance as a one time thing. Mm-hmm. The one time, man, I'm sorry, my bad, and then I move on. Right. And as we were just preparing for what the Lord did at Culture Night in April, one of the things that we discovered is that repentance is actually the vehicle through which salvation and regeneration and consecration enters our lives.
Yeah.
So repentance if you're taking notes and you're locked in and leaned in with us, repentance is not a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about that tension a little bit about how like people approach it? Like, I said sorry one time.
Yeah.
Right?
Or you say sorry that one time again when it happens again.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it's like only in emergency crisis situations is when you repent. Mm. That's when repentance is called for. But I think as I've grown older, I've learned to live a life of repentance.
Sure.
And not where, because before I think when I was younger, I would live in guilt and shame. And then I'm sorry. And now it's like, no, repentance means that the Lord is like sanctifying you.
Sure.
So you can live in repentance every single day. And that just means your heart is soft towards the Lord and he can ask you to change something, repent in what you're doing right now and allow yourself to be corrected by the Lord.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think some of the relationship we have towards the word repentance is sort of like a what you do when you make a mistake. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like incomplete in some of, like, at least for me in my young adult years, like I would just repent when I messed up. And exactly. I did not think repentance was necessary for me when I was just not making mistakes.
Right.
And now in the context of where I'm at in my understanding of repentance is I begin to continue to ask the Lord to reveal things in me that I'm
to
not even
repent,
I'm not even aware of.
Yes.
Like there'd be sometimes we're doing like a brief or like culture night and we're talking about a specific subject and we're convicted by the scripture right. in that moment. And we just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Like I'm doing that right now.
No, for real.
And I just need to repent. And I think it's like such a beautiful thing that we experience, you know, as we work together closely. But it's something that as a young adult, I was completely unaware of, that there could be a conversation with God every day where he could actually reveal to me what else he would desire to change in me, what else he would desire to bring about that I need to renew my mind about. And I would just basically use repentance as my sorry vehicle.
Yes.
Or like, I just want to say sorry. So I just repent. And now it's like, wait, it's like a tool. I have I love that you said vehicle. I have a vehicle to continue to walk out my salvation and for God to continue to reveal in me the things that he wants to change and for me to kind of like move on from. So I think many young adults might be listening to this who have a weird relationship with the word repentance, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's only used when you've been a bad boy, bad girl.
Right. Emergencies.
And actually repentance is a beautiful gift God gives you to come closer to
That's
him,
awesome. Yes.
to come closer
awesome.
To who he wants you to be.
That's awesome. Yes,
and it's
sir.
Just like repentance should not feel shameful.
Right.
Repentance should not feel, and if it feels like that, it's because you have a limited understanding of repentance right. and it's only based on your experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I think you walk in condemnation when you feel in shame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when you feel like, oh my gosh, like I'm not worthy, you know, but I think the tool of repentance that the Lord gives us is the process of sanctification where it's like, man, you're so kind and gentle. You allowed me to see this part of me that you want me to change.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a blessing.
Yeah. One of the things that I think we should just set really clearly is what repentance is not.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So we can talk about what repentance is, right? So one of the things that I'm convinced of now and convicted of now is that repentance is not a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, because feeling, you can feel something and never change.
Yep.
Usually people feel ashamed and they think it's repentance.
Correct.
Yes.
And repentance is not a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Repentance. And we'll talk about this in a second. Repentance is a posture. It's a bias, right? Towards a specific type of action. And one of the things that we put in category for the feelings you typically mistake for repentance is number one, sometimes you feel regret,
mm-hmm.
right? And regret is, man, I'm sorry that happened,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you feel like, man, I feel so sorry. Cause sometimes we think repentance is saying, I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry that happened. Or you feel remorse, man, I'm sorry I did it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry I did that. Or you feel what we called reduction, which is like you just completely abdicate and you just like are disconnected from what happened. You're like, I'm sorry you feel that way,
mm-hmm.
right? Or at the very least, you feel resignation where it's like, man, I'm sorry I'm such a terrible person.
Yeah.
Right? And that takes you down the wrong road.
All four take you down the wrong road because none of those take you to real ownership mm-hmm. or real change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the takeaways that we shared at Culture Night was this, that feelings don't make a difference. Feelings don't make what happened different. Feelings don't make a difference, and feelings don't make you different.
Yeah.
What makes you different is the decision you make,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? And so repentance is not a feeling. So like if you are constantly saying, man, I just feel sorry before the Lord, I feel broken before the Lord, I think that's noble. I'm not going to beat that up, right? But where I am going to challenge is it, what do you do after the feeling?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I can tell you my young adult years, right? Like, there were times where I was sincerely felt sorry before the Lord. And then when I stood up, I had no intention to change.
And that's why some young adults might be listening to this and like, Pastor, I go up to the Lord, I say, I'm sorry. But then I get right back up and I go back to do it again. Mm-hmm. So then it feels like something's wrong with me, because when I say sorry to God, I don't actually change it.
Right.
Yeah. But what I'm telling you is that you're feeling sorry. You're not repenting.
Right. You're not.
And that's actually the difference. Repentance leads you to action and is not determined by feeling. Sometimes there are feelings of repentance that come once you do it a lot. You recognize like, man, but again, I think if you're feeling sorry and you're getting back up, going back, do it again, that's not repentance. That is just a sorry.
Right.
Sorry, I got
it's
caught.
It's just a feeling. It's just, no, it's for just real. But that's what it is, right? I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry it happened.
I'm sorry you saw me. Dang it.
Mm-hmm. No, for real, right? Yeah. And I think where I would love for us to arm your thinking as you're listening to this is, so what is repentance, right? Repentance is having the bias to approach the thing that's creating distance between you and Lord, which, can we call it what it is? Sin.
Sin, mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Failure. A moment where I fail. What is sin? Sin is failure to hit the mark.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the target. I missed a moment morally. I missed a moment in Christian character. I missed a moment in controlling myself, whether it be a desire, an impulse, whether it be rage, whatever it is,
yeah.
right?
Self-control, yeah.
Absolutely, right? So in the moments where we fail to hit the mark, repentance is the choice we make, number one, to think about it differently, mm-hmm. right? To think about, okay, I'm going to approach this with a different perspective, right? Because what happens is you can feel sorry, but also be in denial,
mm-hmm.
right? Repentance, I believe, is the choice to, I'm going to think about what has happened in a different way. I'm not going to think about it through the lenses of my feelings. I'm going to think about it through the lenses of what I intend and what the Lord intends to happen on the other side of this interaction he and I are having. And one of the ways where it's like, man, I need to confront this with honesty,
mm-hmm.
which one of the things I didn't get to say at Culture Night is, when you confront something with honesty, the Bible word for that is confession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a moment of confession.
Confront something with honesty. Confession.
Is confession.
Right? I love that.
One of my favorite places of confession is Psalm 51, right? David has this moment with Bathsheba. If you don't know that story, go to, I think it's 1 Samuel chapter 11, if I'm not, no, 2 Samuel 11, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, it is 2 Samuel 11. Don't ask me why I know
that. We trust it. We can just Google it as well. Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, David says this, we're talking about confronting honestly. He says, hey, you formed me in my mother's womb. I was formed in iniquity. What's he talking? He's talking about original sin, mm-hmm. right? When I'm left to my own devices, when I'm left to my natural impulses, my natural desires, I'm going to lean towards sin. I'm going to lean towards naughtiness. I'm going to lean towards chaos. I'm going to lean towards death, right? And then more honest confrontation. You were present when I did this.
Yeah.
Which, can we talk about that for a little second?
Bro,
can we talk about that for just a little second, right? Let's talk about that for just a little bit. Yeah. The Lord is present with you.
With you.
When at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes we behave as if a door can limit this side of God, as if a room can limit this side of God, as if a group chat can limit this side of God, and nothing goes that he cannot see.
Right?
There is nothing that is unseen to him.
There's no VPN that hides you from the Spirit of God. Yeah,
and that reality in itself, I think it's sobering. Like,
well, I don't think young adults really have an awareness of that, honestly, because I feel like if we did, we would behave differently.
You know what's crazy?
I think as a young adult, how do you get there? Like, how do you live outside yourself and really think the Lord is present with me?
I think the fear of God is necessary there.
I agree.
I think some young adults are struggling with sin and they think they need to be more righteous or more holy or more spiritual. And I think they need to fear God more.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is, isn't it crazy? I'm just going to talk about, pretend someone's committing a sin, right? I literally had a conversation with someone when I said, would you have a hard time committing that sin if your mom was present in the room? Mm-hmm. And the person said, yes, I would never do that. And I said, then how come you are okay with doing it mm-hmm. in the presence of God?
Right.
And when I said that, I wasn't saying it for conviction's sake. I was saying it for the reality hits you like, why did I think that God wasn't there in that
right.
moment?
Yeah.
And I think it's fear of God. And at the same time, it's understanding. I think sometimes we approach God without understanding, which is sometimes, but I also think it's blindness, because our sin blinds us to the reality that God is around us, that he's with us, that he is in us,
yeah.
and that we can literally step out of sin, even if we're really close to it. But I think it's blindness that comes when we're following our own desires
exactly.
and we behave as if God wasn't in the room. And yeah. then we come out of the sin and we're like, oh, wait, you were there the whole time, Lord. Yeah,
I think it's very spiritual. I agree with you. Yeah. I think there's actual blinders when we're in sin that we're not aware of the spirituality of like that God is present and omnipresent at all times. And we're like, I don't know, like in a bubble thinking that nobody sees until we come out of it. And then you realize, oh shoot, this is spiritual warfare for real. And
Adam was doing in the garden.
Yeah. I have a hot take on it, because I think sometimes it is everything you guys are saying, but at the same time, I do think it's a gross misrepresentation of the character of God. And we create this image of God mm-hmm. that is completely, completely wrong. I honestly think sometimes a lot of people who engage in behavior that is unbecoming of a Christian, we all miss the mark, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's Romans 3, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So none of us are exempt. We've all done this. Every single one of us, yeah. even in our thoughts, man, like he knows my thoughts, yeah. right? Okay. But I think what happens is we misrepresent the Lord intentionally. It's very self-serving, because mm. we'll say, oh, yeah. like he's here, but he's watching me and says, I love you anyway. Mm. I love you so much. I love yeah. you anyway. But here's the thing, right? Like which leads to what you guys are saying, right? Like it creates the absence of a fear of God. A misunderstanding, a misrepresentation of the character of God creates this thing where I don't have a true fear of the yeah. Lord. I don't right. have a true, now fear of the Lord is not to be afraid of God. Fear of the Lord is to reverence
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're holy, you're sacred, you are perfect, and I don't want to stain your perfection, right? Yeah. And I think what happens is often we think, oh, he's okay with everything.
Mm-mm.
He's okay. Mm-mm. He's okay with it, right? But here's the thing: you have to understand that this is where it's a little bit of controversial. Because you guys, please anchor me, because I don't want to make it sound, anchor me and correct me, because I don't want to make it sound legalistic. But at the same time, there is New Testament, New Covenant perspective on there is behavior that grieves the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is behavior that grieves God. It breaks his heart.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we misunderstand the love of God, right? Because the love of God is unconditional. It is overwhelming for sure. And the truth is, this is the second time I'll say this today. The truth is, he'll never love you more than he loves you now. And he'll right. never love you less than he loves you now.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is, we're parents on the pod.
100%,
there is a reality where as a parent, I love my children. But the way my children are behaving, I don't love them less, but I'm not pleased with how you're behaving. Right.
I'm not okay with your behavior.
Right. If you're able to please God, if you're able to live your life as a living sacrifice and show yourself pleasing to God, then the opposite is also a reality.
100%.
And I think that's something that we have misunderstood about the gospel is God. The reason why, if you have an understanding of God that he's okay with your sin, then you've created yourself someone who is not the Lord.
Right.
That's and
you've
right
created
there.
Your own God.
And why do we know this? Because if God didn't take it that seriously, he wouldn't have killed his own son
That's
on
it.
A cross
That's
to
it.
Pay for that price.
That's it.
It's important that we don't minimize the Lord to a feeling of love.
Right.
And we understand that's the whole reason for the sacrifice of Jesus on a cross.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's how serious he takes it.
Right. I think what happens is we've created this spectrum of quote unquote, pleasing the Lord, and we've superimposed what culture has been saying about the scriptures. I don't like the scriptures because it judges me. And what culture and society calls judgment is the scripture setting a standard of righteousness, yeah. setting a standard of a life that pleases God, mm-hmm. right? And yes, standards judge us.
Mm-hmm.
They do. Like they tell you, hey, you're hitting the standard or you're substandard right now. Mm-hmm. This is why David in Psalm 51 says, you are a righteous judge. You are correct when you when you convict mm-hmm. me and when you challenge me and you say, hey, the way you've been behaving is displeasing yeah. before me.
Well, I think that's why it's important also to make the Lord of your life and not make yourself the Lord of your life.
Sure.
Because then that standard gets lowered every single time because our own opinions like are always going to be towards our own comfort.
Yeah. And I think with the context of repentance we're talking about, you really are going to embrace repentance as a man of God, as a woman of God, if you take sin seriously and if you actually look at sin for what it is.
Absolutely.
And you don't just excuse yourself for the mistakes you make. You're not going to condemn yourself either because right. Jesus paid for it. But then you're going to pursue the Lord. And then this is actually going to be a beautiful vehicle. Like I can, when I mess up, I don't have to go feel bad for myself. I don't have to go back to feeling like God doesn't love me. No, right. no. If you're hearing us say that, that's not what we're saying. We're saying the Lord loves you. He paid for you with the shedding of his blood, of his son's blood, and everything's covered. But he also now expects us right. to get up and do our good works right. and to walk this out with repentance. So what we're saying is you should renew your mind about how you look at repentance, and you only are going to be able to do that if you actually look at sin for what it actually is.
Right. And then a good word for that is conviction. The yeah. Lord will speak to you with conviction. That conviction brings you to, okay, an awareness, and that awareness should bring you to an action. And that action shouldn't be like grief or, you know what I mean? Like just shame.
Hiding. Yes. It should be encouragement.
It should be like, okay. Yes, Lord, well, I see you. I hear yeah. you. I can do yeah. better.
Well, David says it this way in Psalm 51. When we're talking about confession, I love this because confession, confront honestly, leads to conviction, which is set the bar honestly.
Yeah.
Right? Set the standard honestly. Like, let's not cheapen the grace of God. Let's not cheapen the mercy of God. And let's not cheapen the standard to which the Lord is calling us to live. Right? Mm-hmm. So he says this, look, you're a righteous judge. You were there when I did it. So you're right when you judge me. But here's the thing. I understand that the way I've been living is substandard. So will you do me a favor? Will you do something for me? Will you purify me?
Yeah. yeah.
That's what he's saying, right? Wash me with hyssop, purge me and I'll be white as snow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Clean me and I'll be, and I'll be free of all of this. He brings it into conviction. Conviction is I'm convinced that my way and the standard that I've set is not God's way. Because then right. he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit. What's he saying? My spirit, that's the way I'm thinking yes. about things. My heart, the way I'm feeling, yeah. the way I'm making decisions, the way
saying,
I'm thinking.
Yeah, he's change saying, my appetite.
He's saying, create the right thing in me mm-hmm. because obviously the standards I've been holding myself to are incorrect.
Yeah.
Right? And here's another thing, right? This is for Christians because a lot of people will say, well, that's for sinners. No, this is for Christians because he'll say, and restore to me the joy of my salvation.
Yeah.
Right? Like here's what happens. Like a lot of times in my own life, when I fall into patterns where I'm missing the mark, I've forgotten the beauty and the joy and the miracle and the majesty of salvation in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? I've displaced, like what you said, Felipe, I've displaced the glory of God in Christ Jesus, who came and gave his son to remove the power and the weight and the penalty of sin to give us this life and life more abundantly, mm-hmm. right? But what happens is I lose my joy. I start looking for joy and comfort and fulfillment
and
things
places.
That are not Jesus. And what does that do? Ultimately, I miss the mark.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know, it's crazy. We were just talking about kids, and one of the hardest things to teach children is that when they make a mistake to come to mom and dad and say, hey, I messed up, right. help me. And I think it's repentance does that. Repentance points you to God. You run towards God when you make a mistake.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. Why is repentance important? Because repentance will lead you back to God.
That's it.
Will lead you back into grace. Mm-hmm. Will lead you back into your new creation, will lead you into a renewed mind, will set you right, will realign you. It's a beautiful gift. The ability to say, Lord, I repent. I'm so sorry. It's not so that God feels good about himself and he's like, oh, you at least said sorry. Thank you so much. That's, God is not right. insecure.
But right. God doesn't you know need what, the
you
sorry.
Know, you know what's awesome though, but because like you say, I'm sorry, right? Like, but it's like, you have boys. So you've probably done it more than my girls, right? With me, with my girls. But there have been times where I tell my, but like my girls are like beefing with each other. I'm like, hey, say sorry. And they're like, sorry. right? And they'll say, I'm sorry without a willing spirit.
Yeah.
Right? True repentance. I just pulled up Psalm 51. True repentance says this. He says, creating me a clean heart, restored to me the joy of my salvation, and sustaining me mm-hmm. a willing spirit. Mm. Yeah. Like how do I know I'm living a life of repentance?
Yes.
There is a willing spirit to submit change. To the Lord every mm-hmm. time. Lord,
yep, what?
So real repentance, I believe, sincere repentance sounds like this. Lord, I'm sorry. And I'm willing to do it your way.
Yeah.
I'm
sure.
sorry. And I'm willing to do it your way. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And it's a constant. I'm sorry. And I'm willing to do it your way.
And you know? I really do believe it's like, it's an everyday thing. Like if
yes,
you
ma'am.
Live your life
yes, ma'am.
In repentance, like I won't have a hard heart towards my husband. I won't have a hard heart towards, you know, people around me that have hurt me. You can always be in a place. Yeah. You're going to feel angry. You're going to feel all the emotions, but when you come back to Jesus and you repent and you get closer to him, that's when you realize, okay, I'm in a good place.
I love it because when you said it's an everyday thing, something that the Lord gave us as we were talking about this is the thought that repentance is a progressive, ongoing, everyday process. Yeah. And as we were talking through that, the Lord gave us just a cool little mnemonic. That's the right word. A mnemonic, which allows you to remember something through an acronym. Mm-hmm. Right? So the Lord, like, just... by the way, I love this whenever the Lord gives us acronyms, right? And so what we did was we broke down the process of repentance through the spelling of repentance as an acronym, right? So the R, I'll just kick it off, right? But the R is, it begins with redemption. That's the salvation moment. That's the moment you give Jesus your heart. You receive him as Lord and Savior. Instantly, the Bible says that you are redeemed. You're purchased back. Right? But it doesn't end in that moment, mm-hmm. right? The redeemed life then becomes what the E and the P, R-E-P, everyday pursuit. And this is one of the things that we love to talk about, right? The everyday ordinary.
Mm. Yeah.
Romans 12:1, right? The Message version says this, here's what I want you to do, the Lord being your help. Mm-hmm. I want you to bring him your everyday ordinary life. Your walking around life. So like, Pastor, where should I be repenting? In your everyday ordinary.
Yeah.
In your walking around life, in your going to work life, in your going to the gym life, in your eating life, in your sleeping life, in your everyday ordinary. Repentance is an everyday pursuit.
Yeah.
Right? It's a constant. Here's a word that your generation loves. I'm talking to young adults. We love the word regulation. I just need to regulate. I just need to get regulated. You know what the Lord gave you to regulate? Repentance.
Yeah.
And just to practically say, I repented this morning on my walk, repented after a conversation I had today lunch, repented over a phone call with my wife, not about us, just about something else. I've practiced repentance multiple times today. And it's not, can we just say that? It doesn't feel like a spiritual experience.
At all.
Right.
It's a quick moment of like,
I missed the mark.
And I'm quick about it now. The Lord, the Holy Spirit identifies it. I quickly pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
I quickly embrace the new truth. And I just, I move Change on with it. Lord, I'm so sorry. I got it.
Felipe, what I love about what you're saying is this, right? Because if we're not careful, the everyday pursuit becomes condemnation and shame pursuing us.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm running away from it versus every day I'm aware of where I missed the mark and I'm constantly pursuing his kingdom and his righteousness, right?
Yes.
That's what Matthew 6:33, right? Like seek ye first. What is that? Yeah. That's the priority of my pursuit.
Yeah.
Seek ye first the kingdom and all of its righteousness and all of these other things will be added to you, right? Man, how good does it feel to live every day with the clean hands and a pure heart, right?
Bro, when I repent, I feel lighter every time.
100%.
It's beautiful. It's like people are missing out. Can I just say that out loud?
Right there, for
like
real.
Some of y'all are struggling with things because you're not repenting and you're carrying so much. And if you would just repent, but not feel bad.
Yeah.
If you would actually repent, come to the Lord and do what we're saying. You pursued it every day. You embrace and you change.
Yeah.
It's lighter. And you really life
leave
is better.
You leave it at his feet when you repent.
Yeah.
You don't have to pick it back up. You leave it there and you move on.
You don't think about it again.
Yeah.
You go on.
So redemption is the R, EP, everyday pursuit, right? And then ENT, right? Repent. We're spelling repent, people. All right. So like
we're spelling
ENT,
repentance,
right?
Yeah.
ENT literally means the acronym is embrace new truth.
Yeah.
Right. Embrace new truth. What do y'all mean by that? What I mean by that is like in the moments where you recognize that you require repentance, the Lord is revealing something that is a gap in character, that is like a moment of a just kind of misalignment. What's he doing? He's revealing a new perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have to embrace that rather than reject it or deny it. Like, dude, I'll live in denial all the time, right? And it's like, no, I need to embrace new truth. Psalm 119 verses 10 and 11 says it this way, right? Because remember, repentance is a life of just, man, I just want to bring purity into my life. I want to bring correct living, righteousness. Psalm 119 says this, where in hell will a young person cleanse their way? How will they clean the patterns of the life? By taking heed. The word heed means literally acknowledging, accepting, and activating. That's good. I've never said it that way, right? But when I heed the word, when I heed a command, I'm acknowledging the command, I'm accepting the command, and I'm activating the command in my life.
That's beautiful.
Right? So how can I clean my patterns? Man, I'm trying to fix this up. Feeling sorry is not going to clean up your way.
Right.
Right? At all.
Right.
But you know what will? Hearing the word of God.
Yes.
Acknowledging it, accepting it, and activating it.
So good.
Right? Wherewithal, the King James Version is in my head. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed according to thy word. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Right? And you guys, listen, it's not just about feeling happy about my devotional, right? When King David wrote, I've hidden your word in my heart, what he's saying is this, the word hidden simply means to value, right? Like you think of a vault, right? Not think of like I'm hiding like so you can't see it. Think of it like I am storing it away in a special place. I'm giving it a safety deposit box, right? Because this is valuable. So he's saying, I have valued your word, right? Higher than my heart, right? My heart, my emotions, my thinking, my decision-making. We've said that before, right? My heart is, my soul is, my mind is, whenever the Bible speaks about those three things, it speaks of the locus of human control, which means how I'm feeling, the thoughts that I'm thinking because of how I'm feeling, and the things that I want to do or not do because of how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So David is saying, you want to clean up your act and straighten your path and get regulated and aligned with the Lord? Here's how. Put the word, value the word above how you feel.
Very good.
Above what you're thinking,
right?
Because of how you feel and what you want to do or not do based on what you feel.
Or what you're thinking.
Does that make sense? Right? So he says, I've hidden your word. I've valued your word higher than my emotions, my preferences, how I'm feeling, so I won't miss the mark anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And so you think about that. That's an ongoing progression. I feel this way. I want to do this. I'm thinking this, but hold on. Let me put the word here for what does the word say?
Yeah.
Right? And when the Bible says that you do that, that act right there is actually acknowledging, accepting, activating the word. Mm-hmm. And the scripture says that in that, I begin to less and less be derailed by the presence of sin and misaligned in my life. Right?
So good.
I embrace new truth. Right? AC. So REP. ENTAC. You want to know when I get in trouble? I get in trouble when I'm with the wrong people, bro.
Yeah.
In my young adult years, a lot of my repenting was because of like who I was hanging with.
Yeah.
For real.
And it's hard to repent when everybody sides with me. When the wrong crowd tells me I'm right.
Bro, say that.
Right.
When my friends are telling me there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Right,
when we're all in the same boat.
Right. The scripture says it this way, that bad company corrupts good character, which the opposite is good company will empower good character.
Amen.
I think it's 2 Timothy 2:11 says it this way, flee youthful lust and pursue the Lord with people who have a sincere heart towards the Lord.
Yeah.
The AC is you need authentic community.
Authentic community.
You need authentic community. We have NCE left. Right? Repentance. I hope this is helping you. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Right? NCE. The N simply stands for repentance is true when I'm willing to say no.
To self.
To self.
That's another daily thing. Hourly thing, maybe.
For real.
That's Romans 12 again. Every day.
Every day.
Living sacrifice, meaning I just said no to myself.
Yeah. That's a good word, Felipe.
Yeah.
A living sacrifice. That's literally what a living sacrifice is. We need you. Right? Like every day, I'm a living sacrifice. What's a living sacrifice, Cruz? Saying no.
Yeah.
Right? Dying to self.
Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ.
No longer I who live.
No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Right? Amen.
And CE, right? A constant exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I constantly exchange my will for his will.
Amen.
My way for his way.
Amen.
My thoughts for his thoughts. Right? Lord, I don't want my way anymore. That's repentance.
Amen.
Yeah. Beautiful.
I am pursuing you every day. Lord, change my thoughts. Check my heart. Give me your word. Align me. Put the right people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pursue the right people. And I'm constantly exchanging my thoughts for your thoughts.
Amen.
My way for your way. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Repentance. That's a good word.
Good
word.
Good talk. Good talk.
Beautiful. Hey, I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that's helpful. Apply that. Pause it. Write it down. Take the notes. Get the tattoo. I'll pay for their tattoo if someone wants to get the repentance tattoo. I'll pay for it and I'll go get a tattoo with you. I don't know that I'll get that tattooed,
email
but I'll go get a tattoo
at
with you.
Andrew Fung.
Oh man. Hey, listen, it's such an honor to get to share this space with you, man, to be in your ear, on your screen, in your life, man, for me and Diana and Felipe, man, I'm just speaking for us all. Like it's such a beautiful gift to share this time with you. Speaking of sharing time, as you're watching this, Culture Night is going to happen on May 22nd. So you'll get to watch this before May 22nd. Come through to Culture Night, bring somebody. We're going to be teaching some good stuff. But August 5th through the 7th. Okay.
Stop playing.
Go register.
Listen,
stop playing.
Stop playing yourself. You need to buy the registration.
As soon as I hear you say August, bro, I'm like,
it's right
stop
there.
Playing.
It's right there. Hear me. If you watch this on Friday or Saturday when we drop this, which is going to be, I think, May 15th is the Friday. You have 2 days. Early bird registration ends on May 17th at midnight. 11:59 on May 17th. Prices will go from $55 per registration to $80 per registration. Do yourself a favor. Get that locked in. Wherever you're watching from, man, even if you're not in El Paso, get here. If you want details on the dates, on the schedule, on hotels, go to thisculturecon.com. All the details are lined up there. It's going to be a time. Amen.
Amen.
So until next time, we love y'all. Peace.